Hey guys, it's Corey from Redefining Strength. Welcome to the Fitness Hacks Podcast. Too often we let our age dictate what we can and cannot do, what we're even supposed to do. But our age doesn't define us, and we can't stop that number from changing. We can define how we age, how we get older, what our lifestyle is going to be. And at any and every age, we can lead our healthiest, happiest lives. That's why I'm super excited to jump into not only macro tips, but workout tips to help you feel your most fabulous at any and every age. But I'm also super excited to be joined by RS coach Janet to talk about reinventing yourself. Because I feel that a lot of times as we get older, we fear making changes or becoming that new person, that better person, that person we truly want to be, because we feel like there's something we should be doing or that we should know ourselves better and not be embracing this change. But I want to help you really see that you can lead your healthiest, happiest life at any and every age. So let's jump right in. Do more of the things that make you uncomfortable. As we get older and we feel like we know ourselves better and better, we start to do more of the same. And we get into this very consistent routine, very consistent habits, and we don't ever necessarily question things outside of them or seek to make ourselves uncomfortable. Because in knowing ourselves, we know what we like, right? And so we try and seek to do more of that. But often we also start to limit ourselves more and more and never question some of the things that we aren't as happy with in our lifestyle or how much more we can truly achieve. And we slightly also fear exploration into other areas of things we do enjoy. And we stop seeking to make ourselves uncomfortable. We stop seeking to make changes or experiment because we also see that as us not knowing who we are when we feel like we should know who we are as we're getting older. But we need to make ourselves a little uncomfortable almost every single day because in this discomfort, we make ourselves more confident in our own abilities to overcome. We help ourselves still keep questioning, still keep growing and learning. Because I think a lot of times in getting very comfortable, we don't seek to learn as much. We don't seek to question. We don't seek to analyze our flaws and even improve upon them. We just keep sort of doing the things that are easy, comfortable, intuitive, sustainable feeling, but it's never really allowing us to grow or improve or feel better. And in that, a lot of times we can even see our results start to slide in different areas of our life, us feel not as happy in our lifestyle because we've let even things that met us where we were at previously continue on while they don't match our body, our needs, our goals right now, right? It's what I often see happening with clients who, you know, enter menopause, who have different lifestyle changes. They don't assess what do I need right now? And they're stuck in old patterns that used to work, things that were comfortable because they are not so used to being uncomfortable. So I would tell you, start really assessing like, where am I at right now? What do I want out of not only life right now, but out of the next decade? And while the pain of being stuck, the pain of our current situation, so like if we have weight we want to lose, that pain of having gained weight or being at a weight we don't like is often more motivating than the prospect of what could be. If we do analyze what we want and we even start to say, hey, how do I embrace this lifestyle? How do I become this person? We'll start to make little changes that, yes, while uncomfortable, will move us forward towards that goal. But we do have to analyze, like, where do I want to be? And in that, be like, okay, if I want to be here, what can I do to start now? And I think that's something great that I'm super excited for you to hear Janet talk about is like, why wait? Why not start now? Like, why not take this risk on yourself? Why don't you deserve it? I don't think we question enough what we truly want out of life and what will make this life that we have right now the most impactful, the most meaningful to us. Instead, we do get a little caught up in the fear of judgment. We even get caught up in our own like beliefs about ourselves that maybe from decades and decades ago, right? So I would tell you right now, guys, like if you're comfortable, if you think, oh, well, I know myself, I should be doing only these things. Sometimes questioning, sometimes experimenting, sometimes doing these things that are outside your comfort zone can show you new things that you didn't even realize that you liked and help you shed old beliefs to really move and feel your best. So embrace some discomfort, as comfortable as you might have gotten in your current routines and lifestyles. Embrace some discomfort trying something new. And even if you don't like it, you learned about yourself a little bit more. You explored some other area of this life that you have to really see what's most meaningful for you and to lead your healthiest, happiest life at any and every stage. So I would tell you, do something that makes you uncomfortable. Write down even one thing right now that you've been avoiding because it makes you a little uncomfortable or you're a little fearful of it. Because in knowing yourself, you're like, well, I don't know if I'll like this. Hey, take that risk. Set that experiment, but do something uncomfortable to challenge yourself. It's the only way to learn and grow and even say, I'm going to be living my best life at this decade because I'm doing that. So today we're going to talk about reinventing yourself, embracing change, and defining how you get older. I'm super excited to be joined by RS coach Janet to talk more about this. Janet, will you tell us a little bit about your story and your reinvention? Because I know that plays a lot into a lot of the things we're going to dive into with making changes and embracing them at any and every age.
Yes. About the age of 50, I made a huge career shift. I left the school system, a very safe job with a reliable income, to pursue working in the fitness industry. It was a drastic change. There was a lot of uncertainty, but here I am 8.5 years later. I have not one regret of having taken that plunge and taking those risks to redefine who I am and reinvent my career path.
It's definitely not an easy thing to do, because I do think as we get older, there's this feeling that we should know ourselves, right? And I see it as we get older and know more about ourselves, that means that we can make changes or embrace changes that really meet us where we're at more. Can you talk a little bit about that fear and where you think it comes from, even that we don't want to make changes after a certain stage, thinking it's like bad, like we're admitting we're not like right or don't know ourselves or whatever?
Well, I think a lot of it stems back to we think we shouldn't. And our preconceived notions of this is what I've always done versus what else is out there, and that fear of the what if and the unknowns. What's going to happen if I quit this job, which my real income, and move in a different direction and not know what my income is going to be? How is my family going to react to that? Will we be able to pay the bills and make ends meet? So there's a lot of uncomfortableness that goes along with taking those risks. But we never know what's going to happen if we don't jump. Sometimes we just got to take the leap of faith and go, this is all going to work out.
It's hard to do, though. I think you've touched on something that's so important, is that like we get very comfortable. There's been a set comfort level we've even been at for a long time. And so it's hard to let go of that with the what if this doesn't work? And on top of the what if, there's the what if I can't, right? That fear of I can't, the not knowing what's truly possible. How do you overcome that as well?
I don't think there's a real easy path to it except doing it and accepting the fact that if we don't take action, then no change ever occurs. We can sit down in our chair and think about all the things that we want to do all day long, every day. But if we don't take action with those changes and reinventing who we are, then it's never going to happen. Change requires action. And it's not going to be comfortable. Our brain likes comfort. Our brain likes easy. So it's going to try to talk us out of making those changes too. Oh my gosh, you're too old to go to the weight room. You've always been the chubby one in your family. What do you mean you want to lose weight? It changes the dynamics of your family structure oftentimes too. So there is a lot of risks, but without action, we don't know what's going to happen next. Sometimes we have to embrace that unknown and accept the fact there's going to be anxiety that comes with it.
So talking about action, that's honestly the hardest step, right? We talk a lot about how getting started is sometimes the hardest part, and it really is. How do you take that first action if this has been going around in your head and you're like, there's the doubts, there's the fears, but you know you really do want to do it? What's that first step to act?
I think for me, pick up that phone. Apply for that job, walk into the gym, whatever it may be that you want to do, put these shoes on and walk out your door. Take that risk, pick up the phone. Maybe you've been looking online on Indeed and you see a job that you think you'd be perfect for, but you hesitate applying for it. Apply for the job. What's going to happen? Maybe you get the job, maybe you don't, but it opens that door to realize that you can take action. You know, just like going to the gym, for a lot of women, maybe they've never been comfortable anything other than group exercise. Walk into that weight room floor. Get to know it. Get comfortable there. No one's watching you. They're really not. And most of the time, people want to embrace that you're there and they want to help you. So it's just about taking action and not letting that fear and that anxiety dictate what happens next.
It really is even that small change, right? Like it's just looking for the job. It's picking up the phone. It's walking into the weight room. It's doing one little thing and then even celebrating that win. And realizing too that there's so many different ways we can embrace that discomfort that translate into other areas of your life. And I want to bring this up because I know you've mentioned like you took this leap into a new career. But part of, I bet, like even the changes and willingness to embrace that discomfort is the fact that you had built that confidence in other areas of your life. Like I see it a lot with our clients even, like they make this change for their health. They come into the coaching program, they start doing the workouts, they start doing the nutrition. And often we even do the easiest change in any of those areas first, but they've made these other changes. They've proven to themselves how much they're capable of, and then they run with so much more. How would you like suggest that somebody maybe even go about embracing the discomfort of change if they are looking to really reinvent themselves as a whole?
Well, I think a lot of it is we have to let go of some of our preconceived notions or our own self-imposed labels of I can't, I've always been, I'm not coordinated, I'm not athletic. We have to let go of those and start going, wait a minute, yes, I am. Yes, I can. And really taking action on those, because maybe you were the last one always picked in PE when you played kickball back in junior high or elementary school, like I was. Let go of that. You are not that person anymore. You're not in sixth grade anymore. We're adults and we can do. And very oftentimes, I think as we age too, as women, we have preconceived notions on what does a 50 plus year old look like? Well, I'm sorry, y'all. If you watched the halftime show not too long ago, Dolly Parton sure did rock that Dallas Cowboy cheerleader outfit. She took a risk. That was a huge risk. So we can take those risks too. And if you've always done X, try Y. Try doing something different. What's the worst that's going to happen?
I think it's questioning those self-imposed beliefs, right? Because so often we are what sabotage ourselves in that we don't let go of those things. We don't even assess why we had them. Like you were picked last for a team sport in junior high school. You're not that same person. But we let that emotion or that fear stay with us and we never question where it actually came from. So I think a big thing, if we want to make a change, is even pausing to just assess and build that self-awareness of like, why do I believe some of these things? Where do these beliefs come from? And how can I let go of them? Who is defining aging? Who is defining self to me? Because a lot of times it's either previous things that we haven't let go of that really don't fit who we are now, or it is outside standards we sort of say should be there. But who says that you shouldn't rock that Dallas Cowboys uniform if you want to and define how you age? Because ultimately, like, you have to be happy with your life, right?
Exactly. And then we also have to look at those factors of people that will try to talk us out of doing things. Okay, maybe we've never run a day in our life, but we sign up for an upcoming 5K and we want to train, but we've never actually run even down the road. People go, oh, you can't do that. Well, why not? Maybe I want to start lifting heavier weights. Oh, you can't do that. Women shouldn't lift heavy weights. You're over the age of 60. Who said? We have to shed those as a part of that reinvention of ourselves. So whether it be changing your careers or moving to a brand new area where you really do get to reinvent yourself, or just realizing that I can show off my arms. I can show my legs. Let me show off this figure at a Christmas party that I have worked so hard on, even though my old self would have been very, shall we say, modestly dressed, long sleeves, a longer dress. Show it off. You've worked hard. Part of the reinvention is shedding those preconceived notions and those labels, whether it be who I am or how I should dress or how I should act.
And it
we
does
have to
start
shedding.
I would say it does start with question. That's like an action we don't talk about enough. Just questioning, like, where did this come from? Who said? Why can't
it's
I?
Like,
and then you even mentioned like acting as if, right? You're not, you don't want to, not to be modest. And we should brag a little bit more. We should give headspace and mental space and airspace to the positive. But it's like, we have to act as if we want to become that person, right? We have to take that risk and do something outside our comfort zone to ultimately have that be who we are.
And even if that comfort zone is wearing fun exercise pants where you normally wear black, or you decide you're going to rock that strapless dress for a holiday party, whatever that change may be, or you finally get away from some of the safer machines at the gym and you go try the plate loaded machines. So whatever it is that we're reinventing ourselves on, take those risks and come out of your comfort zone. and keep moving forward. I think once we've taken those steps, we realize I can do more. And we have to tell our brain to sometimes take a seat and hush, because it'll continue to fight us.
It will. And part of the fight is even that fear of other judgment. But so often, there really is no one else judging. It's our own fear of that judgment, our own self-judgment, our own worry about that judgment that holds us back. In terms of overcoming that, because while I think a lot of times we do create that judgment, there are going to be people in our lives that are going to give their not so pleasant opinions, the copless salt even, right? How do you handle that when you are confronted with somebody who doesn't like the changes that you're making?
Well, I think a lot of that's going to be the people closest to us. And again, families don't like change sometimes. They're going to fight against it. What do you mean you want to go back to work full time? What do you mean you want to change careers and we're not getting the money? Why are you going to the gym? So there's going to be a lot of pushback possibly from the people that we love the most. What do you mean you signed up for a 5K? You've never run a day in your life. Well, thank you for that. And then I think you really need to open the dialogue up and talk about how you need support. And they need to talk about their fears or their concerns about the changes that you are desiring to make. And you see, there's got to be a lot of discussion. It's not, we don't live on an island. If we have a family, if we have responsibilities financially, like we all do, big changes have to be discussed. And, you know, even if it's running like a 5K, you know, I just want to see if I can do it. And very oftentimes your family's going to go, okay, cool. And that's going to be the end of it. Why are you starting to lift weights? Well, because it's good for me. And maybe just leave it at that. It's good for me. I have fun doing it. And go on. And so oftentimes our families will, well, maybe support it. They may begrudgingly support it. But at the end, it's still about us and being respectful to our family members as we're making these changes.
I love that you mentioned it's about us, but we have to be respectful to them, because I also do think a lot of times we think about making changes, we know how important changes are to us, but we haven't actually communicated that to the people in our life. We haven't had that open discussion. And so by just opening that clear communication and saying, hey, this is what I really want, can we discuss this and how it will impact you potentially in your lifestyle as well? By opening that, you can really see so many changes. Because like, I know when I wanted to first do my first ever like photo shoot, really get lean, that was like a big change, since Ryan and I were going out to dinner a lot. It was impacting how I was like prepping food and everything. And so there was a lot of discussion about the impact this had, because even though I thought it was just for me, right? It's just something that I have to suffer through, right? He can do whatever he wants. It was impacting the overall lifestyle, how I approach things. So the more we communicated on that, the more we found our balance and things got even better. So it's just being okay with having that discussion, knowing that even though you think it's about you, it's also about them, and even how they feel you might be perceiving their choices too.
And I think that's a lot of it, is that as we maybe want to make some lifestyle changes, whether we are eating better, those kind of things that people come in, is telling our family, hey, you can still eat your spaghetti and meatballs. I may just choose something different, and being okay with that. We can still go out to eat, honey. You can still have your cocktails. I'll just be making different choices when we go out to eat. So it's all about that communication, letting them know that you're still part of this family and they're still important to you, and that we have to support one another. And it doesn't mean that it's going to be easy. Very oftentimes, I think as women, we do predominantly most of the cooking at home. So yeah, your turkey meatballs or your old ground beef meatballs may just be made out of ground turkey now. And most families will just roll with it. Yeah, they're going to be okay. And once I think families see that this change is a real positive, that it's brought new life and new energy to us as individuals, they're going to be more supportive. It would be like if your husband came home and said, I'm going to start training for a triathlon. Well, that's going to be a big, big, big lifestyle change. And you have to support that and talk about, hey, how's this going to impact us?
And obviously, there are going to be like family members that we want to really evolve with, right? That we don't want to disappear from our life, that we do want to address their concerns. But there are also going to be people in our life that we are going to have to let go of, as tough as that is, that we have outgrown. How do you help clients navigate that? How do you navigate that yourself, like when you have potentially outgrown some of the people or situations in your lives?
That's a tough question to answer because very oftentimes it's something we see insidiously, for lack of a better word, that we start to realize they are trying to talk us out of it. They're trying to sabotage us. And sometimes we don't even realize it at the outset. It's like, oh, hey, let's meet for lunch. Okay, where would you like to meet? The place that serves huge plates of fried food. You know, I live in South Louisiana. That's where everybody serves. Well, what are some other options? Can we go somewhere different? No, this is where I want to go. Well, I'm not going to be able to go this week. Thank you so much. And just start maybe gradually pulling away, especially if they're trying to talk you out of going to getting up at 5:30 in the morning, go to the gym before you go to work. Or they're trying to say, a couple drinks won't matter. Well, maybe it does. Maybe this is part of what I'm trying to let go of so I can achieve my reinvention. Those people that are not supportive need to start being slowly pushed out of your life. Or just a simple, no, thank you. I'll have to take a rain check this time. And just being polite about it. But we do have, and eventually those people, especially if they're friends of your former lifestyle per se, or your former jobs or whatever, they'll start to fade away and you'll start to fade away because they don't have the value they used to have in our lives.
And I think it can be tougher as we get older, as we get more set in our lifestyles to let go of some of the different situation patterns that we've repeated for a long time because they're very ingrained. In terms of shedding the old person that we were, the old identity, and really stepping into the new us that we want to be as we get older, any tips for people who might say, or sort of let age define them or say that they shouldn't be making a change now?
Take the risk. And why not now? Why not now? I want to be that 85-year-old lady still at the gym, working out, lifting weights. So why not now? What is holding us back? Age does not define us. And we can work through injuries. We can work around. We can do a lot of things, even with maybe some pre-existing issues. There are plenty of people with pre-existing issues every single day in that weight room, no matter where we are, learning how to work around them. And age is the only thing that limits us is us when it comes to our age and how we define it.
I even like to think off of that, like, what's the cost of waiting? What are we waiting for? We're not getting any younger. If we're blaming our age already for things, like, time is only going to make things add up more, right? We've only been repeating the other patterns for longer. So it's like, what are we waiting for? What are we fearing?
Why not now?
Live our healthiest, happiest lifestyle. And like, why not start today, as you said?
Why not now? And it doesn't matter if it's December or the 1st of January. Why not now?
Well, thank you so much, Janet. Those were super helpful tips. And I hope that everybody really assesses, you know, whether they're going into a new week, a new year, a new stage of life, right? What they really want, to feel free to reinvent themselves and become their healthiest, happiest self at any and every age, because it's never too late to start. And why not start now?
Exactly. Thank you. I appreciate being here today.
So I want to talk about some macro and even micro tips to help us meet our body where we're at. Because as much as we too often blame things on age, saying, oh, I'm too old for this, or because of aging, it's not as easy to do this, there are so many lifestyle factors that we can control. And that's really not an excuse not to see the results that you want. It's an excuse to make a change, or it's a reason to make a change. Because if we don't address what our body needs right now, we're not going to see the results we deserve. As we get older, it is harder to build and retain lean muscle. Our hormone levels are not working for us as much as they were when we were younger, right? Our lifestyle factors may have changed. We may have had a lot more things add up over the years, from aches and pains to even being more sedentary to even previous dieting practices having created metabolic adaptations. But we can address all these things. Sometimes, yes, it stinks and it takes time because we have to retrain our body to eat more, or retrain our body to handle things, or retrain our mind to even embrace things. But we can always meet our body where we're at. And so I want to talk about macro and micronutrient tips and things that we should be including to help match our body where it's at right now. First thing I want to go over is the fact that over the age of 50, it becomes a lot harder to build and retain lean muscle. Part of this is, again, our hormone levels. You know, the fact that as we get older, we're less able to utilize proteins efficiently. We don't have that same muscle stimulus as easily for growth, right? So it takes a lot more to stimulate the muscle growth. That's why increasing protein and focusing on that strength work is key. But specifically increasing protein and even increasing the amount of protein consumed per meal can be really key to create that stimulus for muscle growth that we might have had optimized for when we were younger. Okay. On top of this, if you're in a calorie deficit or you've even done previous dieting practices where you've slashed your calories extremely low, you might have hindered your metabolism. And if you go back to those dieting practices, slashing your calories super low, and you're not conscious of protein, you're going to see a lot more muscle being lost because your body isn't as able to build it and retain it. So because you are getting older and it becomes harder, we want to increase that muscle, by eating more protein and focusing on even bigger portions of protein at each meal. Okay. So increasing protein is key to create that same stimulus for muscle growth we once had when we were younger. By doing that, they've shown that you can, but it is harder and you just have to work harder and implement something new, but it's possible if you make these changes. Okay. Next, really focus on hydration. So if you've ever watched a podcast with me and Michelle or any of Michelle's videos, you know that she is a big advocate of hydration, but it is so key because as we get older, we're often less tempted to drink water and we don't have that same desire to drink necessarily. We're not being signaled to consume water when we really need to. But also if you're increasing your protein, you need the water to digest the protein better and also feel better. It's also so key for fat loss. And again, our hormone levels are not what they once used to be. Our metabolic rate isn't what it once used to be. And I will tangent a little bit here to say our metabolic rate is often not what it used to be because of lifestyle factors. And because we've done previous dieting practices to lose muscle, we're not focusing on it now. So we can really increase that metabolic rate at any age. But part of the fat loss process is staying properly hydrated, making sure that we get all the nutrients we need and absorb them in the correct way. So water is super important to focus on as we get older. Michelle often says to get 70% of your body weight, and that's body weight in pounds, in ounces that you consume daily. And I think tracking this can be really key because a lot of us are bad at drinking before we really need to. And while our body isn't just this thing of like, you don't do something, you're going to die from not doing it for 1 second, right? Our body is optimized to survive. The more we can be proactive with these things, the better off we're going to feel. Okay. So make sure that you are consuming enough water. And it's not only by drinking enough water, it's also by thinking of high water content foods like cucumbers, melons, citrus fruits, celery, lettuce, soups, coconut water. You know, all these different things can be very helpful, especially if you are really trying to increase that hydration. The next thing I want to focus on is more of the micronutrient intake. Focusing on antioxidants is really key. So you might notice you're not recovering as fast, that you have had changes to your skin and different things like that. And part of this is free radicals being produced when our body breaks down food, when we train and everything like that. And because we're not necessarily regenerating the same way we did when we were younger, increasing our antioxidant intake can really help. Okay. So do think about consuming more beans, berries, dark chocolate. Great note if you like dark chocolate or chocolate in general, green tea, turmeric, cinnamon. But think about these things that sort of help fight that inflammation a little bit more because often as we get older, if we go through menopause, we are going to see more chronic inflammation. So we want to do things that sort of counterbalance that. Then vitamin D is a big one to get. While we try and get out in the sun, and the sun is a great source, our skin generally isn't as able to utilize it as efficiently as we get older. So again, it goes back to the fact that it's acknowledging that as we get older, there are changes to our body, but we can do a lot to address them. And by being conscious of our vitamin D intake, that can be super key. A lot of times the supplement is very necessary, guys, even if you are getting out in the sun, even if you are trying to consume vitamin D rich foods, because there are different forms of it, okay? So really make sure that you're getting enough because it can help with bone health. It can also help with like muscle functioning and such. So we want to make sure that we're getting enough vitamin D to stay healthy and able and independent. Okay. So a lot of these not only are for fat loss, but also just to stay functioning independent at our ideal, right? Because I don't know about you. I don't want to just live till I'm like 110. I want to live till I'm 110 and be independent and strong and freaking rocking out pull-ups and deadlifts, right? Maybe not 110, but probably 110. Next, B complex vitamins are super key as well. Okay. They have a huge impact on our overall health. They help convert carbs, fat, and protein into energy. They help maintain optimal energy production, and they're important to vitality in general. Okay. They also help improve our cognitive functioning. And as we get older, again, I want to not only move well, but I want to be super alert, super functioning. I want to be super with it till my final day on this planet. And I know most of us do. And so it's really key we do everything we can from every aspect, okay? We not only want to be assessing how we can work out better, how we can sleep better, but what are the micronutrient changes, those 1% improvements we can make? So making sure that you're getting enough vitamin B or the vitamin B complex, because there are different types of it, is super important. So if you are a vegan or vegetarian and you're plant-based, you do want to be very conscious that it is harder for you to get sufficient amounts of this. So even consider supplementation. But because they're water soluble, you need to get more into your diet and consume them consistently. Okay. So think about, you know, getting enough animal products, legumes, nuts, seeds, whole grains, eggs, mushrooms. There are even fortified foods if you are plant-based and you're not consuming those animal products that are so rich in them. Okay. But make sure that you're paying attention to your nutrition. And even if you haven't tracked your diet in the past and you've been like, well, I've always been able to maintain my weight and now I suddenly can't, especially with the change of the menopause, tracking your food will not only help with that fat loss, with that body recomp, but tracking your food can help you see what foods maybe don't make you feel as good now as you get older, because our body and how we respond to foods does change, or even address some of those deficiencies that you might see popping up as your body isn't able to utilize things as efficiently. So tracking your food is such a great resource to help make sure that you're feeling your most fabulous, looking your most fabulous, keeping your skin young, you know, keeping your energy up. It's not just about weight loss, but track your food and really assess, where are my macros? Am I eating enough? Am I staying hydrated? Yes, tracking your water. And then making sure that you're hitting even some of those micronutrients that are so key as we get older to feel and look our best. So I talked about at the beginning, doing things every single day that make you uncomfortable. And this can even come down to doing things in your workout that challenge you. I think that the training we do in the gym, right, even the healthy lifestyle habit changes that we make can be like a little microcosm and translate into confidence that we're building in our ability to be uncomfortable and sustain that discomfort and make changes, right? It helps us see that we can overcome things to make other changes in other areas of our life, even if we want to reinvent ourselves, as Janet mentioned, in our career. So in the gym is a great opportunity to make yourself uncomfortable. And in making ourselves uncomfortable, we are often creating that challenge that changes us. And it's not only the mental changes that I even just mentioned now, but the physical changes. Progressive overload is key if we want to build lean muscle. And again, we don't have that same stimulus for muscle growth we did when we were younger. And a lot of times we've been training for decades too. You might notice a newbie to the gym, or when you were first new to the gym, you saw changes a lot faster. The more advanced you are, the more experienced you are, the more you're going to have to find new ways to create that progression, because your body has adapted to so many stimuli and it's so much, it can handle so much more than you once were able to when you were a beginner, okay? So you're going to have to make sure that you're challenging yourself in new ways to create that same stimulus for muscle growth. You might also find that your recovery has changed, okay? Again, a lot of times this is lifestyle factors that we're not addressing. We want to make sure our hydration is there, that our fueling is there, that our sleep is there. But as we get older, we aren't going to recover and rebuild in the same way, okay? So we have to be conscious of that in how we're creating progression. That means not just going with heavier weights, not just doing those movements that only create muscle tissue damage. It's being conscious of all the different drivers of muscle growth and finding different ways to make ourselves uncomfortable, because in that discomfort, that is where we are creating that change, because it is challenging our body in new ways. It's even improving our mind-body connection, which leads to not only strength and muscle gains, but helps us react quicker. And that's something I don't think we focus on enough as we get older, that reaction time, because that's what helps us avoid falls, which can lead to fractures and injuries. When we can react quickly, we can stop ourselves from being turned in a direction we shouldn't to hurt our back. We can stop things from acting on us and creating injuries or overload, okay? So we want to assess how we're really establishing that mind-body connection, and we want to focus on progression that creates that stimulus for muscle growth. So on top of adding weights, because that's what we always go to, adding weights, the next thing we usually go to is harder variations of move, right? If we're doing a push-up off an incline or push-up from our knees, we'll go to a push-up from our toes. A, you got to earn that, okay? Doing a harder variation you have not earned will not yield better results. It will lead to injuries and aches and pains because we are not using the correct muscles. So you have to earn every progression you include. But you also want to think about, when you're making moves harder, how can I create more instability? Can I change up the postures or positions that I'm using? Can I change up and create that balance element? I think a lot of times we avoid doing a single leg deadlift because we feel awkward. We lose our balance, right? We can't go as heavy. So it doesn't feel sometimes it's satisfying for those of us who really like heavy weights, right? I get it. I can go heavier with the bilateral deadlift than I can with the unilateral. But I also know that by using that unilateral deadlift, I'm going to strengthen my core. I'm going to make sure that I'm correcting imbalances between both sides. And then I can even lift heavier or do more of the things I love. And if you're a runner, using some of those unilateral moves can be key to preventing injuries so that you can run more, cycle faster, all those different things if you're a cyclist. So it's using these different tools to do more of what you love as well, but also realizing that by creating this discomfort, you're going to see that growth. So don't avoid those balance moves. That only not only improves corrects imbalances, but improves your muscular strength, but it also helps with those recruitment patterns, that mind-body connection, right? You're using muscles in a new way, which creates that really like great efficiency of like that connection. So that neuromuscular efficiency, and that will help your reaction times in everyday life. Then on top of that, also use hybrid and complicated movements. So often we shy away from movements that feel complicated, that make us feel awkward, that we're like, oh gosh, there's a learning process. Like, I don't know about you, but when you learn dance steps, I'm like, oh my goodness, you know, like what the heck do I have to do here, right? And so we shy away from these things that make us feel bad or put us back in that learning phase, but we need to embrace them. And by learning those complicated movements, we are creating those new neural pathways, which really help with that neuromuscular efficiency, which again leads to strength and also muscle growth, not to mention better reaction times to prevent falls and fractures. Okay. But don't shy away from movements that are hybrid movements and complicated movements. They're also really great if you're short on time to get a really big bang for your buck and get in very efficient workouts. See more calories burned. Not that our workout should only be about calories, but it can be a nice added bonus. Then include exercises that you stink at. Okay. I think a lot of times we'll avoid or even dread exercises and therefore we don't make ourselves do them. I know there are exercises like that for me. Okay. I do not like balance lunges or Bulgarian split squats. It's not that they're necessarily even the hardest move I have to do or that I find them the hardest move. There's just something about the discomfort of them I don't like. But that being said, while I might not include them every progression, I do make sure to cycle back through them because the only way to become more comfortable with them is to do them. But I also know that by forcing myself to do it, I have that feeling of success with it, right? I'm overcoming something that I think is a challenge. I'm also, again, still establishing that mind-body connection in a new way. And I know it's going to advance other things. So instead of shying away from those things, recognize that by becoming better at them too, you might dislike them a little bit less. I can tell you the more I've done step-ups, the more I don't dislike them. Those used to be on that list and they're not anymore. I've also found variations I enjoy more of them and I include those more frequently. So while I don't enjoy the dumbbell step-ups as much for whatever reason, not fully sure, I like cable step-ups. Maybe it's a little bit more glute intensive focus, right? But I'm even not only using a move for another purpose, right? And activating muscles to different extents with the different tools, which again is another form of progression. But I'm also forcing myself to do something that I would otherwise avoid, dread, and becoming better at it so that I don't even mind now dumbbell step ups quite as much. Still don't like them as much, but I now do them, see the purpose of them, and I've gotten better at them, which has created so many other good things, right? Going off of that, I mentioned including different tools because not only can you activate muscles to different extents, but it creates progression in a different way because all of them act in different ways. Resistance band is going to apply tension in different ways than dumbbells because dumbbells are based on gravity. The resistance band, as you stretch it and usually where the muscle's strongest, it applies more tension. So that can be really great to drive muscle growth, right? Make sure you're moving in different planes of motion. Also, a lot of times we'll just do our squats, we'll just do our deadlifts, we'll just do our front or back lunges, we'll avoid side lunges or rotational things. But these things are super key to train those movement patterns because the more movements patterns we train, the more we're able to control those movement patterns in everyday life. And if you really think about the movements you do in everyday life, they're not just forward and backwards. They're in every direction, right? A lot of times we're even rotating as we're reaching up overhead, as we're lunging down, right? So the more we can combine these and really use the gym as an opportunity to train these movement patterns, the more we can prevent injury in everyday life, okay? And that even goes to another point that I wanted to make is retraining movement patterns. So often we have an injury and then we avoid certain movements because, you know, we say, oh, my knee's hurt, I can't do active knee flexion. Well, you're doing active knee flexion in everyday life. So you need to use the gym as a chance to rebuild those movement patterns and control them as much as possible. No, not every variation of every movement will be right for every person. And there's not like one move we all have to do, but the more movement patterns you can learn to control in the gym, the better you're going to move in everyday life and the less risk for injury you'll actually have. So stop just avoiding moves, find ways to break them down and retrain those movement patterns, re-strengthen those muscles to protect those joints, which otherwise would become injured. Okay. Then don't fear different tempos and don't fear impact. And I'm sort of lumping these together because a lot of times as we get older, we stop including jumping moves. And while jumping moves, especially starting back, might not be right for everybody, the more impact we can handle, the better off we're going to be. And this also goes back to tempos. Part of jumping movements isn't just being able to handle and learn landing mechanics, which is the key part, okay? So it's not even the jumping that we have to train. It's the landing mechanics I want more of us to learn, because if you're going on a hike and you're stepping down off a rock, if it's a bigger step, you're not jumping down, but that's still a landing mechanic that could hurt your knee if you don't know how to land properly. So doing some more explosive movements, some jumping movements in the gym can help you learn those landing mechanics. But it's also the different tempos. When you're jumping, you're moving explosively, you're moving quickly. This means you're able to recruit muscles very quickly. So if you're only lifting and you're lifting slowly, you're missing out on a huge component of being able to recruit muscles faster to perform the movements. So don't be afraid to speed up tempos at points. I know we think, oh, well, I'm rushing through, that's not good. But being able to recruit muscles very quickly to perform a movement and perform it well, like being able to do a burpee and call on all the different muscles of your body to work very efficiently. Well, burpees have gotten a bad rap at times, and I don't really know that many people that like them unless they really just like them because they're destructive. The burpee has a purpose and can have a purpose in that neuromuscular efficiency, that ability to recruit a lot of muscles all at once very efficiently and very quickly to react, which can really help us in everyday life. So don't fear speeding up tempos, and don't just only steer towards slowing them down, as beneficial as even focusing on the eccentric might be. So remember, there are lots of ways to make ourselves uncomfortable, to challenge our body in new ways, create that progression, build that lean muscle that is so key to help us really define how we age, be functionally fit till our final day on this planet. But embrace some of this discomfort and find new ways to challenge yourself that can be really fun. I'd love to even hear in the comments what new ways you are challenging yourself in your workouts. Well, that's a wrap for this episode of the Fitness Hacks Podcast. I hope that you do not let that number, that age, define you, but instead redefine how you are going to get older, because you cannot stop that number, at least not in any way that allows you to actually live a full life. So you want to embrace it and say, hey, how am I going to be my most fabulous today, tomorrow, and into the next decade? So hope these tips help. Have a fabulous week, guys.